Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. We're going to get to Proverbs chapter 12. I love the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. If it's the most important thing, then get it. And with all thy getting, make sure you get what else? Understanding. Proverbs is there to help us get wisdom, knowledge, understanding. There to help us. Now, when we come to chapter 12 in Proverbs, and actually for the next several chapters, God contrasts and compares two sides of a coin for a lot of different things. Probably about, in all of these verses, Proverbs chapter 12. In all of these scriptures, 28 scriptures, if I remember correctly, there's like 24 character traits or things that affect our character, and you look at both sides of it. Does wisdom have two sides? Yes. There is wisdom of this world, and then there is the wisdom from above, James says, okay? So you gotta kinda make sure you're looking at the coin at the right side if you wanna say. Sometimes we think wisdom is wisdom is wisdom, and it's not. Because the wisdom of this world is earthly, devilish, sensual. That's the wisdom of this world. And that's the wrong side of the coin if you can understand what I'm getting at. And there are things that when we come to the book of Proverbs, it shows you something and then says, make sure you're looking at it from the right viewpoint. So the book of Proverbs shows us the right viewpoint. Now, when we talk about character, from chapter 12 all the way actually to chapter 25, it is an immense amount of mileage. God deals with character. Who wants to define character for me? Character. Now, this is not like a character in a play or a movie, not that type of a character, besides Andrew, I need. What does character mean? I'm not looking. No. I know he knows. Marlene, what do you think character is? Okay. Okay. I think you're onto something. Help me out. See a little bit more. Yes, sir. Okay, character. Character is actually more than what you think or more than what you feel. It is what you do. Okay? It's doing what is right even when you don't feel like it. I like that. Anything else? Something else? It just shows, maybe comes out of your mind. Marianne. You know, that's a good definition. Character is what we really are. Okay? Somebody says, oh, that's a character. Okay? That's what they say. Meaning, yeah, that's somebody you don't want to be near or whatever. It's what you really are. We may seem to be nice and we may seem to be religious and sweet on the outside, but our character is what we are on the inside. Another word for it, the Bible uses the word integrity. It's what you are through and through. On the outside, you may be like one of those Fig Newtons. What are they called? They are called Fig Newtons, are they? No, is it Jacob's? Jacob's Fig Rolls. A Jacob Fig Roll, when you look at it, it's got this outer crunchy, outer side, but on the inside it's ooey gooey, you know? Alright. That's not what a Christian's supposed to be. Christian's not supposed to be one way on the outside, another way on the inside. You're supposed to be the same all the way through. That's integrity. That is character. What you are is at stake here, and we're going to talk about it here. God wants to develop that. No one just has character. We were talking about that this afternoon. We had Father John over to the house. Since he's a new father. And we had John and Ruth and little Connor. And Connor has all kinds of temperaments, doesn't he? And he got them all from his father, right? He has his own characteristics. But he has his character, God bless you, is something he has to be taught. It has to be put in him, It is not something, we're not born with, now when I use a character, I mean good character. Right? And that has to be taught. No, nobody has to teach a child to burp. Okay? You have to teach a child not to burp. Connor!
I can do my ABC.
Alright. Character, if you want to know what character looks like, it's Jesus Christ. The perfect illustration of what character looks like, walks like, talks like, sounds like, acts like, it's Jesus Christ. So, now there are two. Now the first character trait that is brought up here in chapter 12 and verse 1, let's read it. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Let's take that apart. Now, the first area of character is in the area of learning. Wow. Like I said, character, I'm born with character. No. I have to learn it. Yes, sir? Morality is part of your character. Yes. You may have consciousness of what is right or wrong, but character is getting you to live only by what is right. Morality, a lot of people have morality, but they have no character. A lot of people know what's right to do, but they won't do it. Well, morality too. You can fake morality. I don't know how to describe it. There's not a lot of difference between morality and character. Well, it's going to be taught by several different things, but you should be taught character by your parents. I'll give you an illustration of character. Hard work. Diligence in work. You should learn that from your father. Yes, sir. Okay. Your conscience is just a record of what is right or wrong. You have a conscience that may bring up a concern, but you can burn out your conscience. You can ignore it. You should respond to it. But unless you're taught what is right or wrong, you will always ignore your conscience. There's a contrast. Alright, follow me and maybe I can help you. Alright, knowing what is right to do, alright, is not character. Character is the backbone, we say, or the resolve, or the discipline to do it, even though nobody else thinks it's important. See, character takes morality and puts it in shoes. It actually acts on it. Everybody knows what's right or wrong in their conscience, basically. But so few act on it. Character is, like he said, it is what you do. Alright? And that's where people fail. Okay? Very quickly. Well, it depends on what culture you're from. There are all kinds of different things. A lot of... I don't know how to answer that. In a Catholic scenario, people learn a lot of morality from their parents. But boy, one of the best places to learn character is in the back of a tractor for 12 hours working in a field with your dad, milking cows from 5:30 in the morning. You'll learn character. Okay? You may not learn a lot of morals, but you'll learn hard work. You'll never lie. Your dad would never let you lie. You see, things like that. Okay? All right. Now, he talks about learning. Let's read it again. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. All right. I put it in mighty words this way. If you love being taught, it means you love knowing things. There are a lot of people who could care less about knowledge. They don't want to learn things. They just want to do. Sometimes you put a ball in front. Our kids are like this. Ruth and Sharon and Sarah. You give them a book. Oh, read a book. Learn. You give a boy a book and he goes. Give the boy a ball Oh, forget no one. He wants to go do something. When you love being taught, it's because you love learning. Now, Solomon is elevating. He's making it important that we love learning. Now, what we think is, what we've been taught is that learning is the end, and it is not. Because notice the verse, and I'll read it now like maybe we would write it. Ready? Proverbs 12:1. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. But he that hateth instruction is brutish. Is that what it says? No. Notice the word that has now been replaced for instruction. And God does that in the book of Proverbs. He'll use one word, and then he'll swap out the word so that you get a bigger meaning. We're going to learn about a type of learning that we don't like. Let me ask you this question. What is instruction? When he says, whoso loveth instruction, what is instruction? What do you think, Eric? Okay, information, but I'm going to say that it's more, according to that verse, it's more than gathering information, gathering knowledge, although that's good, you should learn some things. Unfortunately, you have to learn a lot of things you think that are wasted, right, Sarah? Like, when will I ever use algebra? Okay? Instruction is more than just gathering information. It actually requires two more important things, and it's in the verse. We've got a word there at the end, reproof, and the word love and hate. So my information gathering has to have two other things added to it, reproofs and a right attitude. You've got to add those things or you have not learned. And this is why in a class, if we had a class, if you ever had the punishment of teaching 16, 17, 18-year-olds in a classroom, you'd realize they're not learning anything. Because two things are missing. One is a good attitude. And secondly, is the ability to accept reproof. Nobody likes to be corrected. And a Christian attitude is, we love correction. All right. Now, you say, look at the verse. The end of it says, he that hateth reproof. What's it like when you say, when you come to church, and I kind of make light of it, but I grieve over the fact that people don't like preaching. I love preaching. I love hearing preaching. I love it when somebody corrects me. I don't like it when they're correcting me. But I need to be corrected. Amen? The Bible says if you hate reproof, if you hate being shown what you're doing is wrong, you are what? What's another word for brutish? For teaching English to English-speaking people. Okay, what is brutish, Allison? Stupid. It's kind of a consensus there. Stupid. All right. Well, it actually, you end up at the level of a brute. You're an animal. Animals learn to forage, to collect food. They learn certain things, but they can only learn how to survive. Is that how we should live? Animals only know how to reproduce, how to eat, how to climb trees. That's all animals can do. You are not an animal, no matter what the evolutionists say. If you want to be more than a brute animal, you need to learn to accept reproof. You know, when you hate reproof, you stop learning. The moment that somebody cannot correct you, and listen to the modern education. You ready for modern education? Class, we're going to have a quiz today, and I'm passing out the test. Yes, here. And do your best on your test. And really, there are no wrong answers. What? Class, we're going to go out and play ball today. All right, kick the ball in the goal. Yay! And if you don't kick the ball in the goal, yay! Nobody's a loser. That's modern education. 2 plus 2, what do you think 2 plus 2 is? 5 yards! That's great, good boy! What? Watch what I'm saying. When somebody cannot tell you, that was wrong. You offended that child. No, he corrected him. We live in an age where you can't correct anybody, amen? And when we have an age, and this is leading to something because I want to teach you about the Antichrist in just a few minutes. We live in an age where nobody's learning anything. Oh, we have the internet, but people can't spell. I can Google it. You don't even know how to spell Google. We live in an age where nobody's learning anything because nobody's allowed to be corrected. You're not correcting me. And so now we need to understand why people don't come to church, at least Bible-believing churches. Because guess what happens when you come to the Bible-believing church? You're corrected. You know, there are people who hate reproof. I'll give you a list of them. First one are religious people. You think your religion is right and mine's wrong. Yeah. You came to convert me. Yeah. They don't want to be told that they're wrong. Amen. Roman Catholic Church believes they're above rebuke. It took them 500 years before they finally admitted, you know, we were wrong with Galileo. You guys don't even know what Galileo did. Galileo said the earth went around the sun. And he was... Sorry, Galileo said the earth went around the sun. The church said the opposite. And boy, just for teaching that with his telescope, he says, look, it makes sense. Just for saying that, he was excommunicated. Persona non grata, you're out of here. And 500 years later, he went, was it John Paul or was it the next guy? Who came up and says, we're sorry. We were wrong. Religious system, 500 years to finally admit they were wrong. World empires. You know what it took to convince the Germans that they were not the superior race? Two world wars. It took war to stop those guys from being so arrogant and thinking they could rule the world. World empires. See, we can talk about them. What about us? How many of you remember the 1960s? 70s, 80s, 90s, the naughties. That's a funny word. Rebels of every generation. I'm not telling you what they do, man. People who hate reproof. Jews. Wow. You tell a Jew, you tell a Hasidic, Orthodox Jew, you're wrong. You're not following the Bible. Man, you'll be knocked flat. A modern Christian. You're not going to tell me my Bible's wrong. I like my Bible. You're not going to tell me my church is wrong. I like my church. You're not going to tell me I can't wear this. I like what I wear. Everybody's worried about, don't tell me. You know what I said? I'm not sitting here spending my time trying to tell you what to do or what not to do. I just want you willing to do whatever God tells you to do. Amen. I had a guy walk into the church there in Mallow. He came in and came like this. Preacher, I heard you got a meeting going on here. And he's sitting there on the door. Do I have to give up my drink to get into heaven? Think about it. How would you answer? Oh, I don't want to offend him. I said, yes, you do. And everything else. You got to lose if you're going to win. I just looked at him and I said, everything you are is wrong. Not just the drink. You got to come as a loser to Jesus Christ. Drop it all. Whatever he tells you to put down, don't pick it up again. Whatever he tells you to pick up from that moment on, pick it up and follow him. Oh, thanks, preacher. I'm gone. Don't be afraid to offend people. Everybody wants to come to God. I got my baggage. Now don't tell me to get rid of it. There is nothing you have that you can bring to God except your soul. And you come as you are and he starts completely over. Amen. Modern Christians. You try to tell them, oh, you know, there's a verse missing in your Bible. You're one of them. Yeah, I'm a Bible believer. Amen. Nobody likes being rebuked. Amen. I know nobody likes that. How do I do this? Well, I won't. Nobody likes being rebuked, but it ought to be effective with Christians. If there anybody that ought to love rebuke, not hate it. If anybody ought to love reproof, it ought to be Christians. Christians. Amen. Come on, nod your head. Come on. Amen. All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. Second Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the, that they might be saved. Wow. God looks at your heart. Wants to know, do you love the truth? I may not like what it's saying, but I love it. See, the Antichrist, this is about the coming Antichrist, and the whole thing, look at verse 11. And for this cause, the fact that they don't receive the truth, they don't love the truth, they don't get saved, for this cause God Himself shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. If you don't love learning, God cannot help you. Where's the Holy Spirit? Around that book. The Holy Spirit hovers around that book you hold in your hand. And as long as it's closed, He cannot speak. Amen. As long as you put it into your heart, as long as you hide it away, He can work. But if you want to, if people want to go to hell, they'll do it because they don't love the truth. Not because they don't understand. I say, is there anything in that Bible you don't understand? Yeah, about that much. About that much. I mean, yeah, what I do understand is pretty cool, but there's a lot of stuff I don't understand. But that doesn't define me. What defines me is whether I love it or not. I love that book. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The Antichrist is capitalizing on the fact that people are ignorant of the truth. They don't love learning. And if you're going to stay clean and clear away from all the deception that's going on, you better love the truth. Now, there's some great blessings in accepting reproofs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. Let's see if I can get to my points here. Proverbs 1, 23. Solomon's writing and he says, turn you at my reproof. What does that mean? Let's see. Dr. Greg, come here for a second. All right. They're worried about you. Okay. So, all right. You're going this way. Okay. Now, if I want to reprove him means to tell him he's going the wrong way. Are you with me? That's what it means. Could it offend him? Yes. But you know, one of the most offensive messages I ever heard was when somebody said, you're going to hell. Who do you think you are? See, we get offended. So he walks slowly that way, all right? And I come along and I say, no. You got to go this way. That way is the wrong way. It's going to lead to destruction. Turn you at my reproof. And him, turn. Okay. All right. So what have I got him to do? Repent. Repentance is when somebody reproves you, rebukes you, shows you where you're doing wrong, and you decide, you're right. I'll turn now. That's repentance. So the Bible says, turn you at my reproof. Hold there, don't move. Verse 23. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Wow. So, if you're like this, he's going his own way. And the Holy Spirit, through preaching, through a soul winner, through a Sunday school lesson, through just reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit says, turn. Go turn. Right? And he turns, and he makes up his mind to obey the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, now I can pour out my blessings on you. Now I can explain my word to you. Will the Holy Spirit explain his word to him when he's going the wrong way? Oh, because he doesn't care. But if he loves to learn, if he loves rebuke and reproof and correction, the Holy Spirit can teach. Are you with me? Amen. Praise God. I didn't hurt you at all. Go ahead, sit down. All right, good. There's a great blessing in allowing for reproof because it is God's way of living. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's see if I can get somebody, Weston. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Wow, you're in chapter 5. Chapter 6. 6:23. Wow, a way of life? The way of life for a Christian is being corrected. All right? Have you ever been doing something on the job and you're doing it wrong? Were you ever doing some procedure or something you were shown to do and you found out you were doing it wrong or somebody pointed out you were doing something wrong? All right. Can you imagine a boss who says, "Oh, I don't want to upset Weston. We'll just let him go. Let him keep doing it wrong." All right. Can't do that. Okay. It's a way of life to be corrected. If I'm doing something wrong, somebody ought to be able to say, "That's not the right way." Amen. That is a way of life. What does a way of life mean? Brother Dan, what does it mean, a way of life? Okay. Good, but it's reproofs of instruction are a way of life, not just for you. It is the way you live. It's every part of your life. It's not just what happens on Sunday. It's what happens on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Where are the best reproofs? The best reproofs come from your mother, right? No. Where are the best reproofs? They come from your own heart. They come from God's Word. It's a way of living. It also humbles you. Proverbs 15:5. Scotty, Proverbs 15:5. Wow. So here you've got a fool will despise his father's instruction. Let me show you how to do that, son. No, I can do it myself. Okay. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof, what does it mean to regard? Honor. Thank you, Dad. Dad, you're the best teacher. Is that a proud statement or a humble statement? You know, when you accept reproof, it's because you're humble. Reproof will humble you. It's correcting what you're doing is wrong. Proverbs 15:10, Marcus. Okay, so here you've got a verse that says, it's grievous, I don't like being told I'm doing wrong, especially when I'm constantly being told I'm doing wrong. But it's because I've forsaken the way, but you know what? It'll get me back doing right. Especially if I'm going to die. The Bible says, these are very strong words. It says, he that hateth reproof, you're throwing your life away, we'd say. If you accept reproofs, you will earn the trust of those that are over you, your authorities. Look at Proverbs 13:18, Brother Martin. Proverbs 13:18, please. Okay, so let's say this. Poverty and shame. Let's put that in one box over here. Shall be to him that refuses instruction. So if I hire Youngin, you're working for me. Come to my office tomorrow and I'll put you to work. And he comes to work and I attempt to show him how to do what I need him to do. And Youngin goes, I already look on the internet. I know how to do it. Don't show me. You know what's going to happen with Youngin? He is going to be poor and ashamed. Because he's going to be fired! Amen? Are you with me? Look at the rest of the verse. Oh, 13:18, I've got to find myself again. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. I don't want to learn. But he that regardeth, honors reproof, shall himself... And he says, wow, boy, I get to do that? And that, if that's how you want me to do it, I will do it. You know what the boss is going to say? I'm going to get this guy doing everything I can. He will be honored. Are you with me? Why do some people get honored by God and some people who are very smart don't? Because some say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for teaching me that. Thank you for showing me what I was doing wrong. Thank you for allowing me now a chance to do right. And the Lord says, let's give him another test. But if you're just, Lord, I hate constantly being corrected. And none of us do. But I don't like always failing. None of us do. I'm not even going to try anymore. Poverty and shame. Amen? So that's why we look at the two sides. We're looking at which side do you want to be on? It earns the trust of our bosses and our God, and it strengthens you. You see, when you are only doing what you feel like doing, you are a pitiful, weak person. But if you allow somebody to correct you, here's a point. You ever seen aerobics? You ever watch aerobics? It's terrible to watch. Oh. But anyway, alright, come on, girls. And then, okay, flip the other side and they're going back and forth. Alright, but here's the other person who's on the side. And now they're doing calisthenics and things. Okay, I just really embarrassed myself. But anyway, okay. So, but here's somebody. You've got a trainer there and you got all these people. And that trainer's showing them how to do it. You know, lift your arms up, so on and so forth. Okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. Okay, and never again. But there's somebody over to the side. They go like this. A good trainer will come up behind him and says, okay, let's get that leg moving. Come on, up there, up there. Okay, because look, if you always only do what you feel like doing, you're never going to grow. Sometimes your pastor needs to be able to get in your face and say, come on! Let's move those feet. Let's get out soul winning. Let's get into Sunday school. Let's do something for God. Let's push ourselves. Amen. He offended me. No, he's trying to help you. Trying to make you stronger. Amen. Amen? All right. You'll miss out on those blessings. Those are blessings, folks. If you reject the reproof, what kind of instruction? I don't mind being taught 2 + 2 = 4. Good. But if I say 5 and my teacher says, that's a nice big boy, right? And doesn't correct me, what if all my life I grew up from then thinking 2 + 2 = 5? And on Tuesdays it's 7. Somebody needs to correct me or else my life's going to be a ruin when I try to learn more math. Amen? All right. Let me give you some examples of godly reproof when we finish. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus 32. Well, no. I'll just say it because we got time. No time. When Moses comes down from the mount, he's got 2 tablets of stones, two iPads. And when he's coming down that mountain, he sees that golden calf. Does Moses go, guys, this is bad. But you know, we'll kind of overlook it this time. How does Moses deal with God's people? He is hot. Moses shouldn't have been angry. You tell him that. God never rebuked Moses for being angry there. When he broke those tablets, he says, you not only broke one commandment, you didn't broke 2, you broke all 10. And he was saving those people by his wrath from the wrath of God. And he soundly rebuked them, didn't he? Luke 9. Let's look at the next one. Test. Luke 9, verses 54 and 55. Do you know Jesus rebuked some people? Luke 9, 54 and 55 test. Okay, so James and John, apostles, the last time I read, were going through the area of Samaria, and the Samaritans kind of were being rude to them. And how did these meek, nice apostles feel about it? How did they react? They said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire and burn them up? Wow, And Jesus said, you do not know where you got that spirit. He rebuked him, didn't he? Amen. You know, what if they went around, if they weren't corrected then, what would happen to the apostles when they were being stoned or when they were being brought before the Sanhedrin and being put in jail? If they didn't get that spirit dealt with then, they would have become nightmares later on. Are you with me? They needed to be corrected. Jesus, when they came in, we won't go there, but you remember when he came in with his disciples and they came into the temple and he saw the table spread, making money off of people coming to the house of prayer. He got up, he made a whip, cracked that whip out into the air, threw those tables, and it says, he rebuked them saying, my house shall be called the house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. Jesus rebuked them. Cleaned up the temple for a little while. John the Baptist, go to Mark 6, Ediberto, verses 17 and 18. So, Herod was the governor of Judea and of Jerusalem. And John the Baptist, was he afraid of anything?
No.
And he said to that politician, he says, it is not right, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Whew. It got Herodias' temperature up. She wanted him dead. But here's the point. He wasn't afraid to rebuke an in power and a very powerful politician. Amen. He didn't just rebuke him, he rebuked everybody. Look at Matthew 7, 10. Brother Kevin, chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. Okay. Just off there, right. So he's looking at people who are pretty self-righteous Jews. He says, don't even begin there. Don't even think because you're the seed of Abraham, you're getting in. And he rebukes them for their own attitude. And really, he had no problem with rebuke. Now, don't anybody think they have the ministry of rebuke, okay? Can you imagine, Pastor, my ministry is rebuke. And by the way, Pastor, your tie is awful. Be careful that you have an attitude of seeking to rebuke people. And to reprove them, and to correct everybody. What does Jesus warn about that? He says, be careful that you take the beam out of your eye, deal with your own problems first, before you ever try to remove the splinter or the mote out of somebody else's eye. But there's rebuking, a lot of rebuking going on in the Bible. Another one, Stephen, we don't have time, Stephen reproved. It says it cut them to the heart what Stephen was preaching just before he died. Christians reprove one another. Look at Matthew 18, 15 and 16, Miss Mary Ann. Matthew 18, 15 and 16. Matthew 18, 15 and 16. Okay, so if somebody hurts you, oh
Marianne, you're a Christian. Forget it.
Okay, maybe you can. Maybe you can ignore it. I always try.
If I can't,
what am I allowed to do? If somebody's hurt me, and I can't let it go, it really has hurt me, it's upset me, what am I allowed to do according to that scripture? That's right. But your goal is to tell them they did wrong. It's okay to tell somebody, you hurt me. Amen. And if they don't listen, if they don't try to make it right, say, look, we're not going to be able to get along here. And if you're doing right and they won't respond right, at the end of the day, you've gotten two or three together with you, and if they still won't respond right, you bring them for the church and you kick them out of the church. Because you can correct, you can reprove somebody, and if they don't answer with the right heart attitude toward that instruction, they're out and you stay. You understand? It's not that you have to be perfect, but that you have to do right. And you expose somebody, says, this person took advantage of me, this person hurt me, this person did this, and they're out if they don't respond right. They don't love reproof. Does that make sense? Okay. Did you know Paul reproved Peter? Let's see, Andrew, Galatians 2:11. We're almost done. Give me 2 seconds here. Paul reproved Peter. I love that sound. Not the baby, but the pages. I love that too, but anyway, go ahead. Withstood him. I mean, Peter! He rebukes Peter. But did you know Peter loved Paul? Peter never let that ever. You read in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, beloved Paul. Wow. See, Peter was a better man than most of us. When Paul rebuked him, Peter probably got all ruffled, and he went, thank you. That's a good man. That's character. Character accepts reproof. Nathan, how did he treat David? Thou art the man. I mean, if I were a king, you break the finger. You put the guy in jail. David was a better man. He says, you're right. I ought to die. That's character. You understand? Character accepts reproof. Whoso hateth reproof is brutish. You want to see an animal? You want to live and die and fight like an animal? Or do you want to live like a Christian? Choose to love instruction. You know why? Because a civilization thrives and grows when people accept correction. When everybody doesn't think they're perfect and we all just adapt. A godly church is built upon acceptance of correction. That people come to church saying, you know what, I want to know what I'm doing is wrong. I want to know when I'm doing something wrong so I can do it right. That is a strong church. And it also is a great home. Because a great home does not start out perfect. A great home grows in knowledge. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, love your wives. No, sorry. And ye husbands. Oh, come on, let me help you. Love them. Oh, come on. I used to know this. 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, that was my word missing. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wife, according to giving honor unto the wife, even though you never understand her fully, as unto the weaker vessel, even though she's not always weak, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know what a great home is? You know what a great wife does? A great wife always, let's just be a little mysterious, so the husband says, oh, I gotta figure that out now. Grow in knowledge. Learn from each other. Let each other grow. Don't, listen, ladies, can I talk to you? Don't expect your husband to read your mind. But help us, because we want to learn about you. We want to know. We want to know you. That's and when we're doing something wrong, don't just go, what did we do wrong? Tell us what we did wrong so that we won't do it anymore. All right, I'm preaching the wrong thing. Okay, anyway. A great home has people who adapt and who love learning and love being corrected. Summary. Character is what we really are. It comes out in what we do. No one just has character. It has to be learned, and that's why God wrote the Bible, and that's why God gave us parents. But our example is not our parents. Our perfect example is not our parents. We're going to have to make sure we learn it from Jesus Christ. And the first area right off the bat is, are you willing to learn character? Are you willing to learn it? Your attitude towards learning determines your ability to develop character before you can learn anything else. Instruction, when you learn something, you have to have two ingredients. Remember, anybody remember what they are? Reproof and a right attitude. What's the right attitude? Love learning. Love reproofs. I don't like that. But I need that. The Antichrist is going to capitalize big time on the ignorance of this world, on willful ignorance. People who say, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. One day there will be one man who will tell the world what to do. That's the Antichrist. And they will flock to him. There are great blessings in reproof. There are. It may feel like a knife. But there are great blessings. It keeps you humble. It helps you grow. It makes you stronger. The Bible is filled with examples of reproof. Somebody says, I like all the good things in the Bible. What does that mean? It means, I like Matthew chapter 5. I like the one about this parable. No, the whole book. There's a lot in that thing that's negative. You know what a Bible preacher does? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge thee, before the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, positive or negative? Negative. Rebuke, positive or negative? Negative. Exhort, positive or negative? Positive. So, a real Bible preacher, two-thirds of the time, is rubbing you the wrong way. And then at the end, he turns you around and says, and exhort, encourage. Amen. That's the Bible. Two-thirds negative, one-third positive, and you have a balanced church. To choose to love being corrected. Father, would you help us, God, to make that choice? We just looked at one verse tonight, but it's very important how we respond to being corrected determines whether we ever develop character at all. All the rest of the verses will be no good. All the rest of the learning will be for nothing unless we're willing to learn with a right heart and willing to be corrected. Lord, I pray that as we go home, help us have a right heart. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for correcting us and helping us be more like Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.